This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Barbara Bribal,
Bruce Blackwell,
and I am Stuart Burks. Now, Barbara, you have a very interesting story to tell, haven't you? Because you've had two cochlear implants. Now, what are they?
I have a hearing deficiency and I was wearing hearing aids and they were not working for me. I could get no clarity in speech the louder they turned them up. So the cochlear implant was recommended to me and went down to Christchurch when I was 77, 2 years ago, to get the first one. And they are a implant that is put on the outside of the skull, under the skin, and we have one implant, and it is connected by a magnet, and this gives me absolutely wonderful speech, hearing.
Okay, so there's something inserted into the cochlea in your inner ear to give the sound signal, or convert sound into signals in the cochlea. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yes, and it would have to be the most wonderful journey of my life, after having virtually lost all my hearing, to get it back in one ear. And it was about 18 months later, I was suggested to maybe have a second one, and my husband pushed for me to go ahead and do this, as he did with the first one. And it gave me then better hearing with two, and surround hearing, so I could hear a plane in the sky and I could look up and see it. Whereas before,
see what direction it was coming from.
See what direction it was coming from, that's right. And it's like when you go to cross a road, I was continually looking left and right, thinking of the cost if I got knocked over, run over. But you had to be very careful to cross the road, that it was safe.
So how long were you going with diminished hearing? Or were you aware that your hearing was getting much worse? Or?
I probably got hearing aids at 63 when I left work. But when I think back, I should have had them long before that, because I had difficulty answering the phone, and that's one of the hardest things. And slowly, I was shut out of all conversation. People got very tired of repeating the same thing to me, and they wouldn't stand in front of me to talk to me. Mm. And so,
but if they did, you could understand from their lip movement?
Yes, with a certain amount of lip reading, and it is surprising how one word in a sentence can give you an idea of what's happening. You become very good with your eyes, because they take over for the lack of the hearing too.
So I hear that you became very good at washing dishes. Is that right?
Yes. Because it was easier to go out into the kitchen and talk one-on-one with somebody. So I was always considered that I enjoyed doing the dishes. this particularly happened at rotary functions. And when I got my second implant, I was so busy talking, I didn't even think of the dishes, and they would say to me, well, where's Barbara?
Okay. Now, you had some stories as to how you realised just how bad your hearing was.
Well, I didn't really realise how bad until I went down to Christchurch. I went to Bay Audiology for my third pair of hearing aids, and she said, you would make an excellent candidate for a cochlear implant. I hadn't heard about it. Reg had. He knew somebody. And anyway, they set it in progress, and I was to go down to Christchurch, which I did. And when they set it up there, we had Judy Bailey's voice talking to us on a computer screen so I could see it. And I thought, oh, that wasn't too bad when I went through the list of words. And then they said, oh, we've got more to come. And the next time it was Judy Bailey's voice and no screen of her face. And that was dismal, absolutely dismal. And that's when I really realised I really couldn't hear. And I tried so hard to hear.
Yeah. And you've got another story about, was it a fire alarm? A fire alarm?
Oh, yes. Small incident that happened before I had cochlear implants was Reg had set the alarms in the house and garage, and I'd gone out with a friend, and we opened up the garage door, and I walked straight in, not realising the alarms had been set, and they were going. And my friend just was absolutely blown away that I couldn't hear them. And the high pitch sound was what I couldn't hear. So that to get speech, you have to have it all. And so all it did, hearing aids, was every new set would make it louder, but a louder mumble. So I got no clarity in speech, and it was very difficult. So I'd be watching the face all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so with the cochlear implant, that did that have an immediate effect when you got it?
Yes, it did. As soon as I had the operation, and 4 weeks later, I went down to Christchurch, and I was hooked up with it, and immediately I heard, and she was counting 1, 2, 3, 4. And she threw Barbara in, and I said, Barbara, and she knew I heard instantly. Yeah. But with the...
And is that usual?
It can happen that way. Sometimes you may only get beeps and funny noises, and you have to really learn. That means going over words, saying them all the time, slowly for your brain to take over.
So is your brain hearing in the way that you would have heard with normal hearing? Or
no, it's so quite different. Instead of coming through the ear, somewhere up here.
Yeah. So your brain has to learn to interpret a different signal.
Learn to interpret those signals.
Yeah.
But I was very lucky because I was extremely religious on wearing hearing aids, that kept a certain amount of the little hairs on the cochlea still working, and that helped me pick up speech so much quicker.
So it's picking up the sounds, but it's also the interpretation, isn't there?
Yes.
So say if someone had never been able to hear properly, would they be able to hear? Would they?
If they were implanted as babies, 3 months, I believe, is the youngest I've heard. If they have them from that age on, they will have as good a hearing and speech as me. If they wear them when they're 10, they get implanted, they won't have as good a speech.
And because the brain interpretation of the signals is a problem, is it?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
So from you having been able to hear well and it gradually going down, your brain understands...
Yes.
The nature of sound in a way.
So, oh, yes, yeah. Yes. It's like a person with sight. If you have seen, even if it's not well, you can interpret that too. But if you have never seen, you don't know what things look like.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so the sooner a child is implanted, if it's deaf and they're checking them all the time, the better chance for perfect speech. Some learn sign language as well, which can be good too. But I think, mind you, I've never learnt sign language or not much. that I believe in the implant.
Yeah, I think there was some debate between supporters of sign language and those promoting the implants. And
Yes. I think you have to be dedicated when you're implanted that it is going to work, to make it work for you.
Because you had to do exercises to understand different words? Or certain sounds you had to...
Sounds come fairly well. Music I've always found a bit difficult. And that makes going to movies a bit harder because they always have music going with the voice, and that is always harder.
And that's because with the cochlear implant, there's far fewer sort of signals coming through than there are sort of hairs in the cochlear. So it's more basic sound, is it?
Yeah. It doesn't worry me too much about music because I wasn't a great music lover anyway. So it must be hard for people. But there are different programs you can get to help with that. Okay. But to me, to be able to talk was wonderful, but to hear is the best thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Weren't there some word exercises that you had to do? That
yes, there were. I was given a book to go through words, so many sections each time before I went back to Christchurch, because they do a... they upgrade your...
The quality, the volume, the interpretation of the software?
Yes, that's
because
what
now you've got the cochlear, there's a microphone that picks up sound and then translates that into electronic impulses through the electrodes in the implant.
Yes.
Yeah? And there's just a limited number of electrodes, so you have a basic signal. But the translation of sound is very important.
Yes.
So things like now with computers and voice recognition and so on, a lot that they learnt in that might be very useful for developing that sort of software.
Oh, yes. And one of the most difficult things I have found was being able to use the telephone, because you are inclined to panic when you hear the phone go, so you don't want to answer it. But my phone, it comes up with names, so that's very helpful.
Yeah. Can you recognise individual voices? Do they sound different?
Yes, particularly, yes I can, those that ring me on a more regular basis.
Oh, okay, because at first it was very hard, wasn't it?
Yes, that was very hard.
But that's getting better. Over time you're getting more and more adapted.
But I think the worst thing is to stop the panic immediately. Yeah. And I also found out recently that... when I ring out to somebody, I know what I'm going to be talking about. But if somebody rings in, don't know what they're going to talk about, and I have to really listen. Yes. Mm. But if you see a name, you've got a fair idea.
Yeah. Do you find that with you not being able to hear, your spoken word started to decline or decrease?
No, I didn't really. I probably didn't get a chance to talk. Often I was too slow by the time I heard what you said. I was too slow to get my chance to get a word in, which was very sad. So you all really feel shut out.
Right.
Somebody's they've gone on to a different topic and I still haven't got what I would like
to say.
Where
they've been coming from before.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I have found that hard. Yes.
Okay. So how do you find that it's changed your life now that you've got the implants? It's a life-changing... I remember you saying this is a life-changing event.
Yes.
Was it confidence or is it just that you feel that you're part of the group again, if you like?
My confidence is back because, as Stuart would say... I love talking one-on-one. I find it difficult to stand up and talk to people, but that's something from a child. But to be able to talk is the biggest thing I could have ever asked for in having a cochlear implant. I thought movies, TV and all that would be wonderful, but nothing is as good as having a conversation. Yeah.
One thing you mentioned earlier was your voice tone changed. Because you couldn't hear, you were starting to talk a lot louder yourself?
Yes, I was. Even if I whispered, it was almost talking. So that when I started talking, it was so loud, I would come home from an evening totally exhausted. Yes, so it's cut the noise right down, that my sound, my voice right back. Yes. Yeah.
But you've also mentioned that you think, not for you particularly, but in general, people's hearing or loss of hearing might affect their mental state, perception and so
yes,
on.
Yes, yes. I think when you're shut out of the hearing world, particularly later in life, you can't go anywhere because nobody wants to continually repeat themselves. They won't turn around and face you. They often say, it doesn't matter, and that would have to be the hardest thing if you're deaf to hear, that nobody can be bothered. Yeah, that is very hard.
So a lot of people who've been maybe deaf from birth or something, they've got ways to compensate, and that's normal. But someone who was able to hear and gradually lost their hearing, their world shrinks around them, and
yes.
They're less, their brain's less stimulated.
It is definitely less stimulated. Yes, yes. You become shut in your own little world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, was this funded through the government?
No, mine wasn't. If I'd gone through the health department, I would have had a 6 to 8 year wait to get one paid for. That would have made me over 80. And my husband said, we can't wait that long. And my surgeon in Christchurch said, you haven't got 6 to 8 years to wait. He said, these are your next 6 to 8 years, best years of your life left. Because every year it gets a little less. So, and I thought, well, I'm going to have to learn all this new technology. I better get started. And then 18 months to 2 years later, we decided we would get two. So I have bilateral cochlear implants now, one each side, and it is just magic.
Yeah. Do you want to mention the price?
Yes, it's almost equal to a car in each side of my head. If you took... I had Southern Cross, but they only paid so much. I had to pay for the implant, or my husband had to pay for the implant on both sides. And if you took up the all-up cost, something like $50,000 each side.
And a small amount was paid through health insurance and the rest you covered?
A small amount was paid with Southern Cross, and that covered hospital, specialist, anaesthetist, and the time you were, that's about it. Yeah, the biggest part you had to pay yourself, yes.
Okay. So how new is this? Is this something that's been happening a lot in New Zealand, or are you one of the first?
No, that's been happening for, I would say, maybe 20 years or more here in New Zealand. But as we live longer, it is going to be more and more. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And some of it is hereditary. Mine was. But
the hearing loss, you mean?
My hearing loss was. And with my mother, it was probably she'd worn hearing aids for maybe 10 years. But in the last 5 years, she virtually had no hearing. And she lived till she was 90, though. But my hearing, I suppose my mother's would have been from 85 when she could have, if you could have had implants, but mine was at, mine should have been at 70.
Yeah.
So and we have a little granddaughter at 24, wears hearing aids now. And they've told her in 20 years' time she'll have to think of cochlear implants, hopefully something smaller and better in the next 20 years.
Okay.
They're working on it all the time.
Yeah. Now, sometimes for these things, they'd be thinking we should only operate on people up to a certain age. Is there any limit or constraint that you came across?
I just saw on a site I belong to for cochlear implant experiences throughout the world, he is 81, and they have, even in New Zealand, done somebody of over 80, okay. Depending on their fitness. And, yeah.
Okay, so that raises a whole different area. You were talking about online, but is there much in the way of support networks for people with cochlear implants?
In Palmerston North, I only know of one other man, a Mr. Boyd, and he's always offered to help me if I needed help. And I get tremendous support from Christchurch.
Yeah.
I could go to Wellington, but I know the girls in Christchurch. I prefer to go there. Yeah. And we have a great time when we're there, yeah.
But you were saying there's something online. Is there a sort of discussion? Oh, yeah, there are
different groups you can join online, and they're very good too to help people, yes.
And how much did you know about this before your first operation?
Nothing. Only my husband knew something. He knew Mr. Boyd, and he knew how wonderful that had been for him.
Okay. But apparently it was exceptionally good for you straight away, was it?
Yes.
Now, why is it that some people take much longer for it to benefit them?
Well, they're starting to think, and I'm a firm believer, that because I wore my hearing aids all the time made the difference. Some people get hearing aids and they find they are too loud. It is mainly because they've lived in a quiet world slowly, so they can't take the noise. But in everyday life, there is noise, and when you're going deaf, you have to get used to that. Yes.
All right. So has it changed the sort of activities that you do very much?
Oh, I can converse more. Sometimes I never stop. I love having a conversation, even with the girls at the supermarket. I just love talking and listening. Yes. Yeah,
and you can. And so that's happening a lot more than.
Oh yes.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, in some areas, you know, people who can hear, they just take that for granted. But you know what you miss by not having.
Oh yes.
That.
Yes.
And are you starting to do things now that you'd stop doing, or?
Yes, sometimes a little bit of force and pressure put on me to get up and talk, which I've always found extremely difficult. But I'm so excited about my life now that it is easy to talk about this. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you mean speaking in front of an audience? And
yes. Yeah.
And you hadn't done much of that before?
Never.
Never. No. Never. Well, I've seen you talk in front of an audience, and when you start, yeah, no problem.
That's if I'm talking about something like this. I want everybody to know about it and how lucky I am to have it. I just can't believe how life has changed for me.
Yeah.
Well, I think you'd be a great ambassador for the implant with other people, and I recommend that you carry on. Yeah. And if you're ever invited to tell people, do so. Because me, you're very, very brave and very good.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, there are now other sorts of implants. We're just at an early stage of really being able to supplement the operation of the body through things like hearing. Well, there's the cochlear implant, there's a middle ear implant now. But there's something else as well, though, with the cochlear implant. Because it's a microphone that's in there, in some ways you can hear better.
Yes, I've seen this a little bit. There's something where they do it on the bone at the back of the ear too. Okay. I haven't read much on that though.
But with the microphone now, I've heard cases where, because it's a microphone, they can get very good, either strong directional microphones or very powerful microphones that can pick up sounds that normal people cannot hear.
Yes.
So you, with a cochlear implant, in some situations you can hear better than a normal person.
Yes. We
normal hearing.
We had Steve with our alarms come one day, and I said, as I'd never heard them for so long, I said, could he get them, turn them on and let the monitoring people know, which he said he would do and did. And I could even hear the tick, tick, tick before they kick in with the noise. And he said, most people of my age would never hear that. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yet I could, if I took them off, I hear nothing.
Yeah.
I should mention that at night time, I have to take them off. You can't sleep with them on.
Yeah, because there's an implant that's under the skin, and then there's a magnetic attachment that has the microphone that picks up the sound, and the software that converts it is in the attachment.
Yes.
Is it? And then that sends the signal through. It's somehow matched up to the implant under the skin.
Yes.
To give the signals to the different electrodes in the implant in the cochlea.
Yes.
And that's how the message gets through to the brain.
Yes.
Yeah. So you take the outside part off.
Yes.
And then you can hear nothing at all.
Nothing.
So it's complete silence.
Yes. Some people get a little bit of hearing. And I did have a little bit before the implants, and they said, oh, they don't like to lose it. But as far as I was concerned, what I had wasn't worth having.
Yeah.
I still couldn't hear properly. So what was the point? I might as well go for something that would give me new hearing.
Yeah.
Mm.
So then at night, I mean, there could be a situation. What if, say, a fire alarm went off at night?
That is a problem. Yes, I have my husband with me now, so it's not such a big problem. But we're looking into getting a strobe light in the bedroom, which when the alarm goes off, it sets the lighting off, and that would wake me.
Mm.
Which reminds me of another interesting thing. We had thunder and lightning one night, and of course I never heard it, but I kept seeing a flash. And I said to my husband in the morning, what was that flashing light every now and again? And he said, you didn't hear it. It was thunder and lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what the strobe light will do.
Yeah.
And there is also something I believe I'm to find out about it later. I can get something under my pillow which will vibrate.
Hmm.
And you can't even set the alarm, because I wouldn't hear it, but there are.
I mean the alarm clock.
The alarm clock, but there is an alarm clock I saw recently that has a flashing light as well.
Okay.
Mm.
And that would wake you up?
That would wake me up. Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website. And a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.